Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
So welcome, Jacob's Well. It's great to have you all here again, like I just said. And we are in our fourth week of Won't You Be My Neighbor? So we're talking all about neighbors once again today. And we're talking about neighbors because, we belong to each other. And that's God's vision. I think we just know we belong to each other. But it's more than just being together because it's nice and cozy. It's we really need each other. And when I say we need each other, it's not because without each other we're lonely, although we certainly are. But it really is. Basically, this is how it works. We need each other. We fulfill each other. We belong to each other, and that's what it's all about. In fact, in the Bible, the New Testament, which is a portion of the Bible that talks about everything from the life of Jesus and on, there's a one idea that is repeated more than any other in the New Testament, and that is this phrase about one another. It's found like from start to finish throughout the New Testament. And many of the one another kind of statements are repeated many times in the New Testament. So I think it's kind of an important theme. So you find lines like love one another, encourage one another, welcome one another, be at peace with one another, live in harmony with one another, teach one another, be patient with one another, be kind to one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, be hospitable toward one another, serve one another, be humble toward one another. Do you want me to go on? No, you got the point, right? I mean, this is just all over. It's pasted through there. Now, it seems like there's a lot of things that we could be, should be towards one another, towards our neighbors, but that is not the point of it, okay? This isn't a list of all the stuff we're supposed to do towards our neighbors. It's just a way of telling us that this is how the world works. The point is that life is simply and naturally a one another sport, okay? It's a one another sport. Now, I'm going to invite us all to have communion here in just a minute. But I want to help you kind of catch a bridge to all this. You see, communion, at least one way of understanding it, is communion is the banquet for this one another sport that we all play together. It's where God is gathering us at the table. God is gathering us with the players, with our fellow teammates, to equip us for this sport, this game, this art of living with one another, and doing it by giving us bread which is sort of God's way of acknowledging that we need strength and that we need hope, and God gives us the wine, which is God's way sort of saying that God's love needs to be poured out into our lives and between our lives because we need forgiveness, we need acceptance, we need second chances. And what's also really neat about this kind of idea that we are one another sport that really belong to each other and fulfill each other, like just like we all come together as individuals, but we make something that is greater than we are individually. So this bread was made of many, many, many grains of wheat. And the wine or the grape juice were made of many, many, many grapes that all came together, and something happened to them. They're brought together in a way where they become something greater than they were ever alone on their own. So here we are, gathering around this meal. Welcome to God's tables. Be fed, be with one another. Enjoy. You know, I think it's kind of interesting that the church historically has made a big deal about the bread and the wine of communion. And I think we've sort of missed one of the other really important and sacred elements, and that is each other. That when we come to the table, we bring something to this table that wasn't there before. And, I don't know, you just got together with six other randomly selected people, and maybe it didn't quite work, and you didn't have all the right numbers. It was okay, by the way, you know. You weren't being graded on that. But I hopefully you found that just six random people gathered around God's table with you in a casual way was like, wow, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of neat. Now, just imagine that if you did that same thing, but not with just six randomly selected people, but six very deliberately selected people who are there to help you grow and become the person you could possibly be. I mean, you think that would be really amazing. Here at this table with me is my friend and my neighbor, Melissa Luck, who many of you know. And thank you for being here, Melissa.
Thank you for having me. So at Jacob's Well, we talk a lot about this rope. And the rope is a way of picturing our lives and how our lives are woven of these three strands. So one of them is you, yourself, right? Another one is the God strand. This is the one that brings in that deepest, highest, widest perspective into your life. And then there's this fun third strand of the others. And that's what we've been talking about during this series. And today we'll be looking at a really specific group within this strand called your bus. And as you look back, if you think about this neighbor series, I just want to have everyone just take a moment and feast your eyes on this painting that Eddie's been putting together throughout this series. Where is Eddie? Thank you so much. So Eddie's walked us through this conversation, through this painting of how neighbors, there's a lot of depth here. We talked about how neighbors are challenging and how we have to work to maybe turn strangers into neighbors at times. But also, if you look, you know, it's not just about the challenge of neighbors. There is a lot of beauty and color and depth in this painting. And today, we are talking about that gift side. Neighbors, and this is the first fill-in if you're taking notes. Neighbors are not just a responsibility. They are an opportunity for us. God is going to fill us up and complete us, help us be more whole through this other strand and through our neighbors.
Right. If you're new here, on the back side of your Sunday paper, you're going to find an outline, and we welcome you to take a look at that. It helps you just kind of get some of your thoughts together. And in fact, Eddie, our neighbor Eddie, who's doing the mural, is going to be Mr. Rogers' visiting neighbor next week. So make sure you're here for that. Yeah. So well, you know, one of the things that amazes me is the Bible, you know, being thousands of years old and being, you know, so honed in on a different culture that sometimes it's almost impossible to read and to figure out. Nonetheless, when it comes to some of these core understandings about life and how it works, the Bible just is spot on time after time after time. And one of them, I think, is about this whole idea of how we as neighbors come together to become something greater together than apart. Paul, who was one of the earliest followers of Jesus that took the message of Jesus around to the known world of his time, he's writing to a community. He's just trying to figure out what Jesus was all about. And he writes this. This is in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, the whole body, and by the body he's referring to everybody. This is all of us pulled together. The whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped. He's saying here, we're combined, we're different, we have different ligaments, different things that we bring to the body, but nonetheless, we are working together. And then he has this little caveat clause in here. He says, as each part is working properly, meaning we aren't ignoring people's gifts. We aren't asking our other people, or we aren't asking ourselves to do things that we aren't equipped to do, but we turn to the right person for that. And also, if someone comes to the table or comes to the bus in our example this week, we don't ignore what they bring. We really use the gifts that they bring and how God equipped them. So this whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it's equipped, as each part is working properly, and it ends, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. What he's saying is, when you have this arrangement, when you put the world together, when you put your neighbors together, the way they're intended to be, the way that they can be, what happens is growth. Amazing stuff happens. And it isn't growth for its own sake. It isn't growth for the sake of power. It isn't growth for some sort of superficial understanding of success. It's for what life is really all about and what we really want in life. So the bus is what we're talking about today with our neighbors. And the bus is about having a team. It's about having a very specific, a very special and purposeful team of people together that allow you to be a neighbor in the neighborhood in a powerful way.
Yeah, and despite how you beat yourself up at the end of the day, we are not designed or expected to know it all, to be it all, to do it all. We are designed to be one part of a diverse team in our lives. This is a non-negotiable with how we're made. If you look around in the universe, I don't think anywhere we're ever going to find that one perfect everything that sums up everything how it's supposed to be, the super specimen of all things. And that certainly relates to people, too. There is not one perfect person. If I asked you right now, hey, can someone show me or describe to me the perfect person? And you'd say, well, for what? You know, like if I need a drummer, I could have the perfect drummer, but a whole band of really perfect drummers, who wants to listen to that, right? And
that's generous, actually. Yeah.
Right. Who's drumming today? I'm sorry. Who? Oh, Chris. Well, another way to think about this, I mean, often our very strengths that might make us perfect in one sense become our liabilities.
Are you still talking about drummers?
No, I'm talking now about, I get to be married to an engineer, which is awesome. I mean, yesterday, my husband Joe built this trellis for our new straw bale garden, which is going to hold anything. I mean, this thing is sturdy, it's well made, he was thorough, and he would be the first to admit that that same thorough precision becomes a real challenge and a pain in the butt for him sometimes, and we have to help each other with that. So, yeah, we don't only need others, we need different others in our lives.
So the bus is about your team. So, you know, who do you get on board this adventure, which is your life? And, you know, who are you going to decide to pull together to be on this journey with you, this journey in which you need to make some important life decisions, in which sometimes you just need to take stock or catch your bearings, or maybe it's, these people that you'd gather around you to help you pick yourself up after you've gotten knocked down. The fact is that there's limited room on your bus, all right, so you're going to have to choose, and who you choose, and the fact that you do choose makes a lot of difference. So, your own personal bus. That's where we're headed today. What's that all about? So I've been using this bus concept for quite a long time, and my definition of bus and the way we're talking about today is this, and it's on your Sunday papers, it's on the screen. It's people, your bus is people with whom you surround yourself intentionally and vulnerably for health and growth. People with whom you surround yourself intentionally and vulnerably for health and growth. Now, let me just dive into that definition a little bit. First word there that I want to point out is intentionally. You do this, you make a point of doing this. It doesn't happen by accident. I mean, what happens by accident is your bus just fills up with people that you didn't really choose, or maybe your bus remains empty because you never bothered to choose. But you get the people you need when you're deliberate. And the truth is, most of us don't have our buses very well full right now.
So the next thing about these people on your bus is you need to surround yourself with people with whom you can be vulnerable. This is not a place for playing games. You need to be able to be yourself with these people and be honest. I mean, really, what kind of help is someone going to be to you if they don't know the real you, right? So if you ever feel defensive or there's posturing going on with these people, you know, whoa, I need to step back and check here. What's going on? Do I maybe have the wrong people on my bus? Or is there something going on in me that's making me feel defensive? And if there is, hey, maybe these are people you can actually be honest about that and just say that out loud. Say, wow, I'm feeling really defensive about this or whatever right now. And they will help you get unstuck from that. So this is a place where you can really be honest and be real.
That's good. That's important. Another real key word in that first line is the word surround. In fact, you know, I've got a pen there. Circle the word surround. This isn't just a matter of thinking of who these people could be or of naming them, identifying them. No, this is actually surrounding yourself with them. This is your team. You are on a journey together. It isn't an informal designation, but you are relying on each other. So surround yourself with each other.
And the last two words, do you see the words health and growth on there? Circle those, or circle them in your mind if you need to do that. The purpose of this group is health and growth. It could be fun, but really it's not for your comfort or your entertainment or even your accomplishment. This bus is here for you to get, not to get somewhere, but to be somebody. That's what this bus is about, your well-being, your health and growth.
Okay. So that brings us to the bus. So what are these seats? We've got six seats on our bus. We've got our bus right here. And what I like to do is we're going to talk about these six seats. And what I'd like you to do, if on your outline you can write what the name of the seat is, and then start thinking, brainstorming, who might some of these people be, and write their names in that box, right? Start thinking about who those people are. But the first seat right here on my bus is the encourager. And I've got a lot of wonderful encouragers, but I'm going to ask Amanda, will you come down and represent my encourager? You certainly are one. This is a real hard job. You have to sit in one of those front seats and hold that piece of paper that says encourager. I know you can do that. Thank you. So what is this encourager all about? These are the people that just really believe in you. They don't think you can do anything wrong, right? Don't answer that. And they are. I mean, you turn to them and they just make you feel good about yourself. You like to be around your encouragers. In fact, sometimes you might feel a little bit embarrassed around your encouragers because they just believe in you just like so much more than you do yourself. And sometimes you even wonder, like, you know, I'm not so sure that everything that they see in me is really true. But good news, it is. If it wasn't there within you, they wouldn't be seeing it. So it's an important person to help you learn to believe in yourself. For a lot of us, if we're lucky, our moms and dads play this role. But caution, that's great. If your mom and dad is your encourager, wonderful. But find some other people that aren't doing it just because they have to. So that's an important thing to have. And here, the other big thing is you have permission to have more than one encourager. I mean, put all kinds of people on Amanda's lap there. And, you know, that's I'm not going to. You're safe. But have lots of encouragers in your life.
I'm just glad you're not my dad right now. So another person you need on your bus is the truth teller. Jen, would you mind coming? Bring your outline. You can keep working on it up here. The truth teller is the person, a person in your life who holds you accountable, who tells you those things that you need to hear, but it might be nice not to look at them, right? You just don't really want to think about that. But these people are constructive. They know you and they understand you and they believe in you enough to bother telling you the truth. It's not easy to be a truth teller. So if that person is in your life, that means they believe in you. And, and it's really not about tearing down. I loved how Nick was in the office, my friend Nick, the other day, and his quote kind of summed it up. He said, there's a fine line between a truth teller and an a-hole, right?
No, that's not the word he said.
Well. So you really need this encourager and truth teller stuff going on in your life. In fact, you know, if you have a truth teller that never says a word of encouragement, it might get a little tiring, right? And if you have an encourager that just never seems to be at all in touch with the realities of you and your life, it might start to seem kind of shallow. So it's good to have a little of both, but don't get the seats confused and expect one person to do all of that. In fact, that's kind of a thing about this, a powerful thing to me about this bus is I think sometimes we grow up and think, I'm going to find that perfect partner. I'm going to find that perfect boss or that mentor that really completes, like, helps me be who I'm supposed to be. And we know, you know what, that's not going to happen. We can't expect one person to be all of these things.
That's right. So the next seat on my bus is the mentor. And I, Justin, where are you sitting? Can you come on down here? Justin, you've been a mentor for me many times. Go ahead. Have a seat right here. The seats are adjustable. So... they don't recline, though. Who is a mentor? This is the person who has been where you need to go before, all right? You can learn from them. In fact, that's why you have them there. They know something relevant to you that you need to know. And you may think, a lot of people say, well, isn't that what a bus is? We need mentors on our bus. Well, actually, that actual mentor role is one role on the bus, and it needs to be complemented by some other ones. But the mentor has some experience, has some expertise, has some wisdom that you value. And that value word is really important because of how you value them, you really respect this person, and then they think highly of you too. That's also really important that your mentor thinks highly of you. And because you value this person and respect them so much, you're very disciplined about your time with them. You're prepared when you meet with your mentor. You listen, you ask questions, and you expect that your mentor is going to be listening to you as well. So that's really important stuff. It is obviously true that for different things in my life, I'll probably have different mentors. If it's a relationship issue, if it's a professional issue, whatever it might happen to be, sometimes we need different mentors for different roles and different things that are happening in our life. Now, just one key thing is, and I think this comes up with our mentor more than others, is that we start feeling like we're a burden. Like, I just keep going to Justin. I keep asking him stuff, and I don't really help him with anything, you know, but he keeps helping with me, and I start wondering whether I should do that, and I second guess myself. Don't. And why not? Because he's on my bus, but guess what? He's got a bus, too. In fact, he's got all these seats. He's got his encourager and his truth teller. and his mentor and all the other chairs that I don't not gonna sit up right now, but he's got that and he's responsible for that. I'm not responsible for him and his bus. He is, all right? So we're open, we're honest. If I'm too much of a burden, he's gonna let me know. But I'm not responsible for his bus, but I do ask him to be on mine.
All right, so to balance out this mentor, we also need learners on our bus, people who are learning from us. Kirk, do you want to be in that seat here? We've learned from each other. So the learner, when I first heard Greg talk about this, you know, honestly, my reaction was, well, what would I have to teach anyone? I mean, everything I could say, I really heard it from Greg or my friend Denise or my parents. And then I realized, oh, well, that's what I have to say. That's how it works. You know, they were my mentors, and I am the only person that has that combination of learning to share with other people. And I think when we hold on to our learning, it's kind of like holding your breath for too long. So take in some learning, take in your breath, deep, bring it in. And if you never let it flow out, it's terrible. It loses all its power. But when we invest the things that we're learning into other people and share the things that are important with other people, then it starts to have power. And honestly, not only for the people we're sharing it with, but for us. When you are sharing what you learn, it starts clicking for you in a whole new way. I mean, I think a lot of us have experienced that. The best way to learn something is to teach it. So if you don't feel ready, like you don't feel maybe confident enough to share what you have learned, just start sharing it, and you will gain confidence in that sharing.
Yeah, I think it's really important. The next seat on the bus is my favorite named one. That's the yin to your yang, okay? And so this is a person who's very different from you, just a very strange person. Laska, where are you? I think you almost knew this was coming, didn't you? So here's one of the things that we do. We may find other people to play different roles in our life, things that, you know, skills and things that we don't have. Thank you, Laska. But nonetheless, virtually always, we find people who are generally like us. They need a little different set of skills, but they pretty much reflect our understanding of the world and the way we live back to us. And you know what? That's a tragedy. I mean, the whole thing that's, you know, going on in Baltimore right now is because people were creating mindsets, and as you know, Mike talked about it last week, created single stories, didn't see the complexity of the world, didn't see what's all going on and how they need to understand the world and their actions from other people's perspectives. And we need to do that. We need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to get pushed out beyond that. If I only fill up my bus with people who are generally like me, the only real thing I've done with my bus is lower the gas mileage, because I'm hauling a whole bunch of versions around with me of myself that I don't really need. You know, so we need something that really brings that variety and brings that different perspective onto our buses. There's a guy named George Barna who's done a lot of leadership studies, and he says among great leaders, there's really four skills that these great leaders have. But the interesting thing isn't about what those are, but that he hasn't found any leaders who have more than one, or maybe one plus. The reason that they're great leaders is they surround themselves with people who have different perspectives, different leadership skills that complement them. So I think that's a real key thing for us to understand. Now, an important thing about this to realize is while this person may be very differently from me and see things, have a very different perspective on the world, and while we maybe don't always agree on everything, you know, that's not what's important. But nonetheless, this person is really interested in the questions and where my life is going and is willing to be honest and open and fair with me in dealing with it. And that's a key thing. Another thing, and Melissa mentioned this a little bit, but this is a concept that applies to all the seats on the bus, but is most apparent with the yin to my yang, is this idea that these people on this bus, it is not their job to make me happy, okay? It is not their job to make me happy. They are here to fill in gaps that I've got. They're here to rub off rough spots in my life that need to be gone. But basically, why are they here? Remember the definition? Their purpose is what? For health and growth. That's why I have them on the bus, and that's how they're really valuable to me.
All right, this last seat here is called the stretcher. Can I have a tassler down here? So the stretcher, what does that mean? This is the person who continually amazes you. You would never think to do that. And either Nick or Allison could be sitting up here for me personally. So these are people that you might sometimes say, gosh, I wish I were a little more like them. I would have never thought of that. And for example, a couple years ago, Nick and Allison had a nice house on Bloomington Avenue, and they had a kid starting up in a great school and lots of good friends. And then they announced, well, we're going to sell our house and we're going to go live in Florida for the winter. And I was at first kind of shocked. I was like, wow, I never would have thought of that. And then I realized, you know, that makes me rethink my plan to stay here and complain about winter for 5 months. You know, so, but to have people that you know, I didn't do the same thing as they did, but it does help you choose and see possibilities that you won't consider without those kind of people on your bus.
That's great. So thank you, you guys. You're welcome to go back to your seats.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. You all sat down on chairs incredibly well. And so here's the thing, and this is a fill-in on your outline, but these people on your bus, the seats on your bus, they represent roles, not individuals, right? And that's important. There are going to be some people who do play more than one seat on your bus. Maybe for different times in your life, they switch around to different roles. And also, it's okay to have more than one person in some of those seats, right? So, you know, don't get all hung up on that aspect of it. But just as important as that is the idea about who is not on your bus. And just really quickly, let me run through a few people who aren't on your bus. The first person who's not on your bus is everyone. You can't have everyone on your bus. You have to choose who's going to be on your bus. When you think you've got everyone on your bus, the truth is you have nobody on your bus. Another one is people who don't have your best interests in mind. You're not going to find that you're able to be open and vulnerable with people whom you don't really feel have your best interests in mind, right? So just don't think about putting those people on. I think this is an important one to mention. The abuser does not belong on your bus. Someone who's given physical, verbal, or emotional abuse to you, and you might be thinking, well, that's obvious. Like, why would I ever put an abuser on my bus? If you have been a victim of that, you know how it happens. You don't put them on their bus. They take your bus by force. And so one of the things important is to realize, how do I not allow that person to have that seat on my bus? And we'll talk about that in just a second. Also, a person who's too self-absorbed with themselves, that person is never going to really appreciate you and really be listening and be there for you. So, you know, just pass up on that person. A person who has opposed values or no values, that person, you're just not going to have a starting point for figuring out what you need to do and what you need to get from that person. And the last one I would say is this person that you have no real access to, okay? A person you don't have any real access to, either because they're geographically too far away, and believe me, with the bus, I think face-to-face is pretty key, or maybe you just can't get on their schedule. They're just too busy. That's okay. They can still be in your life, but they're not people on your bus.
So there are some common questions that I think come up when we start talking about the bus. Formally and informally around here. And one of them is, okay, so at Jacob's Well, a lot of people find it's called group life, connections outside of Sundays. They find that to be a pretty meaningful place full of people that help them develop some pretty significant relationships. Is that the same as your bus? And it could be, but no, not necessarily. I think group life is a great place to find people that would take a seat on your bus. And it's also a great place to ask each other, are you using your bus? Good question to ask in group life, but not necessarily the same.
Another question is, what about my family? Is my family on the bus? Well, the truth is, when you're little, your bus is all about your family. They're the ones who play those roles. But as you grow up, you start replacing family members for other people in your life. And I think that's an important switch to be making. Now, the truth is, we better all acknowledge that there's some people from our family that are on our bus. And that's okay, but I think the important key there is to acknowledge that and to make sure you're keeping those relationships healthy and fresh so that you are being able to have constructive relationships with each other.
So another thing you might be thinking is, whoa, this just sounds like a really big job. Another thing to do, another group of people to meet with. You might be looking at your page and thinking, oh, crap, I'm already failing. You know, I came to church and now I have more people I'm supposed to figure out and something to do. So I just want you to take a big breath and stop with that and think of this as a get-to. This is a get-to, not a have-to. Yeah, it will take some time. It takes some risk and some work on your part. But it is worth it. So don't try to hold on to it and control it and line up all these appointments in the next 3 weeks and worry about getting all these seats filled tomorrow. But it does matter to take the next step. And just start looking around and say, wow, what is there for me? Who is there that could be part of this bus? I think God is on our side with this. And if you just give God a little crack, I've learned that God kind of blows you away with this kind of stuff.
It's not like you have to meet every week with these people. You may never even meet with all these people at one time, but they're the people that you check in with and surrounding yourself. Another question is, like, people come to me and say, I've got some people on my bus that I want to get off of it. How do I do that? The truth is, it's easier than you think. Okay, this is a metaphor. There's not actually a physical bus with people on it. All right? So, you know, the key is, turn to the people you want to get these roles filled by, not the ones who just maybe want to play with it. In fact, I think one of the big things that we learn in life and that God really wants to help us figure out is, how do we differentiate the noise people make in our life from the power people have over our lives? All right? So when that person just jumps on your bus and starts playing that role and you don't really want them to, you can just sit there and nod your head. And when that's over, you can go to the actual person you want to play that role in your life. And I think we're going to find that one of the reasons of having a healthy bus is that it helps you deal with all those people you don't want on your bus.
Okay, so this is a church, so shouldn't God be on our bus? I mean, shouldn't God be driving the bus? Really, what's that saying on the cat poster?
Yeah, if God's your co-pilot, God's in the wrong seat.
Yeah, thing, right. But in this, no, you are the driver. And God is on your bus, but guess what? God is on your bus. God chooses to do it through all of those people. That is where God is. And you can't really give up that driving role to anyone else, I hate to report. And this is something that that you have to do, and these are the people that you get to rely on and enjoy the ride with and go somewhere with. So so do it. It's your bus.
Yeah. I'm sure we missed some things. There's other questions, insights. Write those on your communication cards. Get them to us, and we can keep this conversation going. But I think it's really important for us to realize the importance of this bus. I mean, we all get community is important. We realize that who we surround ourselves with is key to life. But why the bus? The bus is your journey. It is your life. It is decisions, it is the choices, it is checking in with yourself. It's picking yourself up when you get knocked down, like I said a little bit ago. And the fact is that where you are going is going to have a lot to do with who it is that is along with you on that journey. You know, just like the human body isn't just made up of a lot of organs. It's made up of some very specific ones that play very specific roles that complement and make us whole. And we need to approach our own lives in the same way and get those same kind of people within us. You're going to find, and this is the last thing on your outline, with the right people on your bus, the destination isn't so important anymore. Why? When we're doing this on our own, trying to figure everything else, we're always destination-oriented. I need to get there. How am I going to get there? When we realize that I can be in the moment and I'm surrounding myself with the people to help me figure out day to day who I am and what I should be about, you're going to find out that you are always making better choices and that where you are going can always be a good place. And when you get stuck someplace, you've got resources, you've got forgiveness, you've got love, you've got support to go someplace else. So remember, this bus isn't there to help you get someplace, but to help you be somebody. And that's what God has in mind for you as well. God isn't so interested in where you get in life. God is interested in who you are in life and is always there for you to help you be that.
I think we need to pray. God, I'm thinking about the things in the world that are happening that we need to have buses that can help us show up for the challenges around the world and in our own lives. I think of Baltimore, I think of our own city and neighborhoods, and Nepal, and all of us here have awarenesses and things on our hearts in the world and in our own lives. Wonderful things, difficult things, scary things going on. Help us rely on the buses, the people around us. Boy, help us grab the wheel, help us trust enough to do that, and do our part. And let the people you've given us do their part, too. So thanks for the neighbors that we have here with Jacob's Well and in this room and in our families, our neighborhoods. schools, all the places that we'll head to this week. And help us just see you in all of those people and be a little bit of you for them too. Amen.